Hey guys, welcome back to Show Me Scares. And here is Missouri State Penitentiary, part two. And now let's get to the ghost stories. Nailed it.
Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Paranormal claims started at MSP before the prison was even closed. In Housing Unit 1, there was a prisoner in the 80s. 1980s, that is. You have to say that. It was open for both of them. So.
That's true.
He had never caused any problems, never been any trouble at all. And suddenly, when he was put into this cell in Housing Unit 1, which used to be the women's cell block, he began complaining about a woman that visited him every night.
Well, he's in her cell.
He was so terrified that he would hang up sheets so that he couldn't see her to block her out. But then he would wake up to her standing over him watching him sleep.
Oh my gosh, I would freak. Oh. That poor guy's having it rough.
I'm going to have nightmares just thinking about that one because, ooh, no. He actually bought a whole bunch of lights and would aim them at one corner of his cell and sleep in that one corner. So he was terrified.
All lights are out and then his cell's like glowing at night.
He put in numerous requests to be moved to a different cell, but everybody just assumed he was Looney Tunes. Like, they're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, because she's making him loony.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, nobody poor believed guy. Him. When the prisoners were moved out in 2004, he was sent to another prison and he never reported seeing the woman again. Or had any trouble of the sort since.
I wonder if they was like, oh, shit, he was telling the truth.
Well, now they are, yeah. There is reports of the Gray Lady. There was a time when, actually, MSP had to do kind of this little retraction thing because somebody had posted a picture online of MSP with this Gray Lady. And it was fake. And so they had to kind of get ahead of that and be like, you know, this is out there, but it's not real. Huh. So, yeah. There's that. But what that actually did was bring in new claims. So everybody saw this picture and they would write in or something and they would say, that may be fake, but it's a lot like what I've seen there.
Weird.
Yeah. So it actually brought a lot of people out to say, you know, no, no. She's real. That may be fake, but she's real. She's there. Huh. One CO actually said while the prison was open that he would see her walking and then she would just disappear. And this is after women have been out of the prison. Mm-hmm. Another saw her walking in circles and said she just seemed very concerned and she just walked circles in one spot. That's a weird one. That would creep me out.
It would, me too.
I would want to be like, hey lady, but then if she looked at me I would piss myself, so I wouldn't do that either.
Just let her be.
Yeah. Oh lordy. There was one CO that was doing counts. It was nighttime and he's doing counts and everybody's asleep, and every time he rounds the corner he sees at the corner in front of him, like at the other end of the block, somebody round the corner where he can't see them. Like they just go out of sight just as soon as he gets around the corner every time. And it keeps happening. He'll even switch levels. He'll go down a level and see that shape go, or that person round the corner at the far end.
Huh.
Just like it's just out of reach, you know?
That's weird.
He calls control center like, okay, we need to get, you guys need to come up here. There's somebody out. Like, we need to get them back in their cell or whatever. Somebody's out here that's not supposed to be out here. And there's an inmate who hears all the commotion going on. And he calls the CO over. And he's like, you're not going to catch this guy. He's out here all the time. Like,
What?
We see him walk past here all the time. Like, he's always out here. You're never going to catch him because he's not a person.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And all this happened while it was still open. There's also Tom Wells. He was a guard, and he is now, I think he's still working there as a tour guide. He was for a long time. One day during count, so he works in one of the factories, and it's a nice, warm, sunshiny, lovely day, and they have the garage door open. And it's count time. Everybody knows during count time, you stay where you are until count's done. Well, he's standing there talking to one of the inmates, and he sees an inmate walk right out the door.
Huh.
And this inmate has long blonde hair flowing, blowing in the wind.
What the fuck?
Not really. I just added that, but.
Oh my God.
That's how I see him.
God.
He does have long blonde hair, he said, in a white t-shirt. And so he takes off after him, and he's searching for him outside. And he's like, you know, thinking he may have an escape attempt here. Meanwhile, the inmate that he was talking to steps outside and says, "You're not going to find that guy. We have nobody here that even looks like that. Think about it." And that's when Tom realizes, you know, we don't have anybody here that looks like that. And so he just had to say, "I can't explain it. I saw it, but I can't explain mm-hmm. it." Since then, we have, of course, you know, they're doing ghost tours, they're doing history tours, all that good stuff. And there's a tour guide coming out, closing up at the end of the night. And she comes through Control Center, which is the front of the prison. And she realizes that all of the lockers are open in an area that she has just been through and knew they were all closed. Can't explain that. She just walked through there. They were closed. She
and that's something you would mention.
And they're open.
Or that's something you would notice.
I would say, yeah. What would you do?
Oh, man. Probably just close them since I know the area anyway.
Yeah, I guess. Well, this was attributed to Fast Jack, which is the entity we were told about in the very beginning of our tour. He's generally seen in a white lab coat carrying a clipboard. He's thought to have been a trustee that worked in the medical facility. They said during our tour that this was residual, that he always walks the same path, never reacts to anyone if you try to talk to him, nothing. He just walks through. He walks through walls that were not there at the time that he was there. So it would make sense that he could walk through that area and that would be a residual kind of energy because he doesn't do anything intelligent. And so for them to attribute
the lockers.
Yeah, that doesn't really add up to me.
Huh.
But it's just me.
That's pretty cool, though, if they can see him.
Yeah.
In the lab coat and stuff. That's cool.
And apparently quite a few of them that are working there have seen him. And it's, I don't know if they tried to, like, journal it and see, like, what time it is and all that. Because I'm sure they could probably try to figure it out. But it could be just random, too. In Housing Unit 4, also called A-Hall.
It's the hopping place for paranormal.
Yeah, it's known as the hotspot for paranormal activity at MSP for sure. They have what's called the dungeon cells in the basement. Now, the dungeon cells, a little bit on those. I know we've covered history, but just so you know the brutality of this place. They were very small cells, much like the blind cells in the women's cell block, only they were a little bigger. And I've seen reports of anywhere from 6 to 15 men stuffed in a cell.
Oh my.
Yes.
At least in the blind cells, it was only you in there.
That's true.
Wow.
Most of my research, I found that they would, for dinner, they would bring in cornbread on a plate and they would slide it into the cell. And there was one piece of cornbread for every man in the cell.
I'm sure the weakest man in there didn't get no cornbread.
I'm thinking, yeah, like.
That's crazy.
That's never going to work. Somebody's starving to death. And it happened a lot. There were a lot of deaths. And like I said, they did not report them because they weren't good for
it. Well, just yes. Another prisoner down.
Mm-hmm. They were also beaten. Terrible beatings.
What's in that?
So here's the story that I got.
Is this another one I don't know about?
It is.
You.
They would strip their clothes off of them, but leave their boots on. so that they could see how much blood was gathering in their boots so they knew what time to stop. They would know when it was getting too much, when their boots were too full of blood.
That's so messed up.
Right.
What?
I know. That's a bad one. The dungeon cells are hell anyway. They are no light. It's complete darkness. And they're cram-packed in there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand it. How you can live like that.
Wow.
And then there's one man that actually was in there for 17 years. John B. Firebug Johnson.
I remember you talking about him.
Yeah. So he was a little fire starter. He loved Firebug, you know. He actually set many fires when he was in prison. But the one that got him sent there was a big fire. It caused $500,000 worth of damage. And I think it killed a couple inmates too.
Whoa.
Yeah. So he was sent down there. He ended up being in the dungeons for 17 years. But he survived this. He actually got out of prison. And he ended up writing a book called Buried Alive for 18 Years in Missouri State Penitentiary.
He probably just liked being buried alive. I mean, you're down there in complete darkness fighting for a piece of cornbread.
I know. What kind of mind does it take to survive that and come out okay?
How do you write a book? Like, whoa.
I know. That's a wild story to me.
I'm going to have to look that book up. That's something I would like to read.
You know, I didn't think about that. That'd be interesting. I could have probably had a lot more information for you if I had.
Thanks.
Down here, the claims range. One big one is a strong smell of body odor.
I can only imagine, though.
Right. If the women, like in the regular cell block, were allowed a bath every week, you can imagine that these poor guys didn't get a bath hardly ever.
Get anything, yeah.
And that would be quite stinky with 15 men in one cell. And I don't know how many men there were, but I saw differing reports.
And we've seen some of those, like we've seen the cells in the other buildings. They're probably just alike. 15 men in something like that? How do you...
I can't.
How do you breathe?
Yeah. No, I can't even think about how that would go. There's also a couple of the women who work at Missouri State Penitentiary who say that they see a man with half a face.
Oh my.
That's creepy as hell.
I don't know if I could handle working under something like pressure like that.
No. They'd be like, will you go and shut the lights off? And I'd be like, I quit.
Nope. Fire me.
Oh no. People also claim to feel breathing down their neck. They hear screams. I'm pretty sure that it was the Ghost Hunters episode when they were there that they got this like crazy scream that came out of the dungeons. I'm pretty sure I remember that correctly. Equipment also malfunctions there.
So all this is a lot of typical stuff you would think you would get from a place like that.
Yeah. Upstairs, they have a hall is 4 cells high, I believe. If I remember correctly, and they have tons of claims there. There's actually a man who was murdered in his cell by two other inmates. They like took apart a pair of scissors and stabbed him like 50 times and they gouged out his eyes. It was a very brutal murder. And so some people like to say that that's him. Or it could possibly be him since his death was so violent. But it seems to me that all of the deaths in this place were violent. But you know, you don't see, other than like Fast Jack, you don't see any names to many of these ghosts like you do in most ghost stories. Generally, you have a place and they say it's haunted. And so they give you this story and it's like, this is...
Joe Bob.
Well, you know, it's like, this is Mary Jean Fluffington and she haunts this place because she tried to commit suicide and it went wrong and she fell on an axe because her husband stole her baby and sold it to a pirate.
A pirate? What the
I mean, there's always some big convoluted story.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they all involve pirates getting babies.
No, that was my own.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying that it's always some kind of crazy story.
So in an area like this, though, there's so many prisoners around. And you was talking about, what, 4 levels?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you could really narrow it down to one person to one area.
Yeah. This is the same area where one tour guide had her shoulder grabbed, and she's not too fond of that place anymore. And, I mean,
it's a little thing.
There is a shadow man that's seen walking on the catwalks. And there's actually a cool video on YouTube. If you just search like MSP shadow man, then you'll find it pretty easily. And it's kind of fascinating if it's real. I mean, you never know. But if it's real, I like it.
It's a good video. I liked it. I don't think it's fake.
No. But there's tons of voices and equipment malfunctioning, all kinds of crazy pictures that have been taken there. There's a ton of claims from A-Hall, and that seems to be the place that everybody wants to be in. Unfortunately, when we visited, A-Hall was not available because the tornado had come through last spring and tore the roof off, and it wasn't up to par just yet. They were still working on repairing those damages from the tornado.
Go figure.
That was a little upsetting that we didn't get to go there, but that just means we have to go back, so that's fine.
So all this time, the oldest building made it until 2019 and then gets destroyed.
Right. Yes, that is the oldest building. I think it was built 1868, if I remember correctly. It's an old building. In Death Row, there is a 7-foot-tall shadow man that we heard about.
We did hear about him.
Apparently, he likes to kind of bother big men.
Oh.
This 7-foot-tall shadow man also likes to rush people. That'd be terrifying.
Especially a big-ass guy like him.
So there was a report of the running man in that area, and it's not the dance. Although, seeing an apparition or a shadow man do that
I would dance do a dance.
Would be fantastic. I would have so many hits on YouTube if I was to post that video, but
you don't even have a YouTube account.
Well, I'm not doing very good at that, but I'm just saying the running man, actually they hear him running. So whether toward you or away from you, whatever, they hear him running. Like it's like somebody is running down the cell block.
It would
be like, stop running.
In the dark in a prison that you're not familiar with and hear something running at you that you can't see.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I get goosebumps thinking about it.
What would you do?
Run? I mean, run faster? No, I don't know. My heart would definitely be pounding. Like, holy crap. But if I knew the claims were there beforehand, it wouldn't freak me out as bad.
That would be helpful. Yeah, for sure.
But if not, I would freak out, definitely.
There's some really cool stories that have come from some of the tour guides regarding women's voices heard in different parts of the prison. There's 2 different instances that are so similar that I want to share them because they were 2 different tour guides on 2 different nights, maybe different years. There's a good amount of time between the 2 claims. The first one, they're in this cell block doing their ghost tour and they get done in this block and everybody goes out and the tour guide just yells back in, is everyone out? And she distinctly hears a woman scream, I'm still here, like panicked, like, I'm still here.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
So you have to go looking for her.
She wasn't the only one who heard it. There was somebody else with her. I think one of the people on the tour actually was the one who was like, did you hear that? We know everybody went out, so that's weird. And then there was another time, another tour guide, he says, is that everyone? After everyone was out, he says, turns and says, is that everyone? And they always did that. Mm-hmm. They always checked every area. And a woman's voice next to him says, I think so.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow.
And both of those were witnessed by more than one person. And that's amazing. I would be like, whoa, do not sneak up on me like that again.
Bro, you scared me.
Like, you gotta like blow down my neck or something. Let me know you're there first.
Run at me, bro.
I gotta know before you just start saying stuff in my ear that you're there. Like, that is not cool to startle somebody like that. Oh, but yeah, there's that.
Very cool claims.
I think they're good claims. Many of the tour guides actually say that when they are giving tours and they, because the tour guide is always first in line, right? When they're giving tours, when they go into a new area, they walk in with their head down because they don't want to see what's probably standing there or what could be standing there or going around the corner. And so many of them will actually keep their head down and not look up until the rest of the group has come in or until they turn around to look at their group because they're just not sure they want to see what might be there.
I don't think they're at the like wrong profession to be that scared to do stuff.
But they all love that place so much. And I mean, that shines through when you're there and you take a tour, how much they love it. And, but I think it's really fun. That's cute. That they're like,
nope. Okay, good.
Keep your eyes closed and
no.
Yeah. I understand it. I can't say that I wouldn't do the same thing.
That's true.
I'd be like, I don't want to see. Okay, I'm good.
Okay, but, people's with me. I can advise now.
Or be like, yell into it. Be like, listen, I'm coming in. Anybody in there needs to move out.
Coming down the stairs. Yeah. Still coming. At the bottom of the stairs. Open the door. Okay.
Yeah. Make sure that you let me know you're coming before. Like, let me get settled before you decide to manifest yourself. Throughout the prison, there are reports of cell door slamming, footsteps, loud banging, shadow figures, the smell of cigarette smoke in different places, and just an overwhelming sense of sorrow. I think death row is really popular for that one. And we were in death row when she said that was the claim, you know, just a sense of dread or sorrow, which makes sense in death row. That would have been the feelings that all of them would be feeling at that time. But we didn't feel anything.
No, but we was pretty amped up about being there.
That's true. We'd have been like, I'm so sad. I feel sorrow. I don't know why. I'm so excited about that. That's stupid. Anyway.
I can use a shirt that says that. That's stupid.
So one last little bit before we get into our claims and our fun, exciting time we had at MSP. There was a little rumor, and I wanted to substantiate it or not. And so I did. There was the rumor about bodies buried under the parking lot out by the gas chamber, you know, that parking lot we parked on.
Yes.
So is that true or not?
Not true.
That actually is true.
No!
There are maybe hundreds. Absolutely, that was one of the big questions I had. And
they answered you?
Yes.
When you asked this?
Yes, they verified for me. Absolutely. They don't know how many there could be because, again, they didn't keep the records of that, right? It was bad for business.
So they just, like, when somebody would die, just take them out back and throw them in the ground?
Kind of. So here's what happened. There was a cholera outbreak.
A what?
A cholera outbreak.
Okay.
And so they lost a ton of people with this illness.
Yeah.
And they buried them in like mass graves, from what I understand. And so I understand your next question will be, why didn't they move them afterward? Uh-huh. Like after before they paved over them and made a parking
big
lot.
Old parking lot.
Well, the reason is the illness is still alive.
Shut up.
They can't remove them because the illness is still there. Like, and so they couldn't at the time apparently take them out because it was a living. I'm not sure what cholera, how cholera works, but from what I understand is because of the danger of
the magnitude of having so many people dying of the same disease and just all having them in one area, that would be so true, like how dangerous that would probably be.
Yeah. So, and I guess maybe I can't see that after hundreds of years or however long it's been. I mean, 100 years, maybe. I didn't get the date, but I would think now it'd be safe, but now there's a parking lot there. So like, I'm assuming that when they decided to put a parking lot there, it was like, there's bodies here. We need to move them. And they're like,
we can't
do that. That could release this cholera. It's so sad. I mean, these people are under a parking lot.
And they were still people, and they still had family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. I just thought that was a rumor that we, like, somebody just put online.
I did too. But it was reported on Ghost Adventures. And so,
that is true. I remember that now.
I remembered seeing that because we watched that episode before we went, so we would have an idea of the layout of the place mm-hmm. and all that. So,
oh, that's crazy.
That's one of two episodes of Ghost Adventures we've seen. What do you think about that rumor being true?
I hate that one's true.
I
of
do
all
too.
Of them.
It's tragic.
It's
but
sad.
Lends to the credibility that there's enough there to cause a haunting for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, my mind's still blown.
Yeah, it's a sad one.
You said you had a good one to drop on me. Was that it?
That was it.
Wow.
And I told you, like, I kept this one from Terry on purpose because I didn't want her to know. I wanted to get that
reaction,
that genuine reaction, but I had told her, like, Terry, I have the perfect truth for you. Like, it would be perfect for Terry's truths. So I'm just going to completely take over your truth this week because I'm not giving you this one because I don't want you to know about it until we record. So,
so much for Terry's truth on this episode.
That was Shayla's truths.
That works.
Yeah. So that's what we have for Missouri State Penitentiary. And now we'll cover some of the stuff that we did. So like we said earlier, we were lucky enough to get to go on a ghost tour at Missouri State Penitentiary. And we had some really cool stuff happen while we were there. Nothing like crazy, I don't guess. But of course me, I guess I would call myself a skeptical believer, maybe. I always, you know, try to, afterward, I'm like, did it really happen though? So I'm terrible with experiences. Even if I experience it myself, I still doubt it later. The first experience, and really cool one because three of us had the same experience at the same time, happened in death row. Whenever we would go into a cell block and stop to get the information, the history of that cell block, we would all line up against the wall and our tour guide would stand with her back to the cells facing us, telling us the story. And most of the time, everybody shut out all their lights and it was complete darkness. And that was how this actually worked. And we go in, everybody lines up against the wall, except for me.
Of course.
I'm too excited. I've been waiting to get into this place for 10 years. So I'm way too excited. And I'm like standing out in the middle of the aisle. I don't realize it at first. So she's giving the history and all that. And you tell what happened with you. So to lay it out a little bit, Bradley is to my left behind me against the wall. Terry is to my right behind me against the wall. And I am between the two of them, only
out in the middle of the aisle.
In the middle of the aisle.
We are where we're supposed to be.
So we have formed a triangle, unbeknownst to any of us, actually, though. Right. So what happened with you? You tell your side.
So the officer's down a little bit from me to the right, and then there's me. And I thought you was to my left, and then there was Bradley. Well, we shut the lights off, and last I knew, you was to my left. Excuse me. So you know how when it's real dark, you just kind of see that figure, like, oh, okay, there's Shayla. Don't go too close. Don't run into her, you know. So I kind of just stepped back and was listening to the tour guide. And then she's like, all right, everybody, lights on. And we turn our lights on, and your ass is out there with her in the middle of the aisle. And I'm like, okay, now wait a minute. I know there was somebody beside me. So afterwards, I asked you, you know, did you move up there during the lights out or what? And you're like, no, I've been out here.
Actually, what I said was, my side of the story, I'm standing out in the middle of the aisle. She's giving the history, and I'm like hanging on every word and, you know, like I do. And then I realized once my eyes got adjusted, I'm like, ah, I'm the only moron standing out here in the middle of the aisle. Everybody else is doing what they're supposed to and standing against the wall. But I'm like the excited little puppy at her feet listening. And so I'm like, oh, I need to back up and be with the rest of the group. And I go to take a step backwards and felt somebody standing behind me. And I thought the officer had moved and taken my spot against the wall is really what I thought, you know, because I knew he was down at that end. And I kind of said, oh, I'm sorry. I knew somebody was standing right behind me. And then the lights come on and I turn and the officer's still 10 feet down the wall from us. I'm like, okay, nobody was standing behind me, you know, maybe that was just me afraid of the darkness or something. And then you tell me your story and I'm like, interesting. Mm-hmm. That's right where I would have stepped on somebody. And then after they give us the spill of the history and stuff, they will let you just kind of walk around and take pictures and check things out. And Bradley comes to me and he's like, I thought you were standing between Terry and I. Somebody was standing. There was a shadow right between Terry and I. I thought it was you until the lights came on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's three of us that either saw or felt somebody in the same place.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
It was cool. It's cool because it was three of us. None of us knew at the time until we all came together and told the story and was like, whoa. Because we were all so excited to tell that story to each other that it was, you know, we knew something.
There was actually somebody there.
Something was going on there for sure. That was an interesting one for sure. We ended up eventually in 3D, which is the criminally insane block. Down there, some people say it's like a negative feeling and stuff like that. Never felt that. None of us did, I don't believe. What did happen down there was one of the most amazing experiences that I've ever had. We go in, and just so you understand the layout, you go down a stairwell, and then you turn a corner to go into the cell block, and then you go through one block, so there's like a doorway, bars to go through, and then you stop at the end of that other hallway. But if you look back toward the stairwell, there's a light on the stairwell, but it doesn't give off much. There's like a tiny glow, just enough that you can see where the door is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not light at all. All the lights are turned out. Our tour guide starts giving the information, and Terry and I have no idea about the history of that place because we didn't listen to her at all at this point, because we had turned around to watch back toward the door. There was just
a feeling. I just had a feeling like
something's going on mm-hmm. back there. I'm watching along the right side where there's smooth bricks, and I see all this shadow on the wall where you can kind of see a glare coming from the door. And I gotta stress, this isn't light. It's just enough that you can see it. It's not lit up at all. And so I see these shadows moving on that wall, just every now and then, a little movement. And we were a couple minutes in, our eyes were fully adjusted. And so I say to Terry, you've got to look over here along the right side of the wall. And she says, no, 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 you need to look at the doorway. And so what were you seeing?
Mainly just like a figure, a dark mass of a person from the waist up, you know, kind of like leaning and looking through the doorway to us, you know, so you can basically like somebody just leaning and looking and watching us.
Yeah.
So that's what I see, like a dark figure.
And that's what, you know, you pointed that out to me and I looked and I saw it. I mean, I saw it lean and look out at least twice. And it was fairly clear. It was so dark that you just have to really stare at it. But you could see clear movement. Mm-hmm. Something was peeking out the doorway at us.
And I was so excited. Shayla was actually kind of behind me looking over my shoulder, basically. Mm-hmm. So I was hitting her like, babe, you see this? Hey, you see this? Like a little kid.
But you hadn't had any experiences, really. So you know, that was exciting for you to have an experience like that when mm-hmm. you hadn't had any. The really amazing thing, though, to me was we're standing there watching this doorway, and I noticed something movement closer to us in the middle. So this is definitely not a shadow being cast on something. Couldn't possibly be somebody down at the other end making puppets on the wall. It's something maybe 15, 20 feet at the most from us in the middle of the aisle. It just this dark gray mass just manifests. And it's, I would say, the size of a man's torso. It didn't necessarily have that shape, but that's the size that I would say it is. And I'm like, Terry, do you see this? Do you see this? And she's like, yeah, but she was looking at the door. She wasn't looking at that. So
yeah, I was looking past it, I do believe. And I was now seeing the shadow move, like the glare off from what you're seeing, I do believe.
Mm-hmm. So I'm watching this and it starts moving toward us and I'm frozen. Oh my God, I'm seeing this. This is happening to me, you know? And it's coming and it's coming, and then it's 10 feet in front of us, and then it's gone. It just kind of evaporated. It just went away. But it was so solid. It had the doorway blocked out. The side of, you could see the doorway past it, but it was blocked out where mm-hmm. this shape was. For me, I know we had different vantage points because we were kind of looking at different directions, but it was amazing. I mean, that was a real shadow figure, I guess. I don't know what else to call it. And it was walking toward us.
I'm kind of glad I didn't see that because I may have freaked out a little bit.
Terry'd have been running down the cell block. Get out now. But that was, I mean, of all the experiences I've had, that was definitely one that will stand out.
That's cool.
Because it was amazing.
And the funniest part is, 30 seconds after that, she's like, okay, lights on. And when she turned the lights on, me and you just looked at each other. And she's like, well, did anybody experience anything, blah, blah, blah? And it was like crickets. Nobody said anything. Me and Shayla was just staring at each other like big wide eyes. Yeah. Just like,
Like, we'll discuss this later. Yeah. And I'll say a word.
don't point that out.
But also, Bradley in that area, I asked him, did you see anything in there? Because I wasn't going to tell him what we saw first. And he says, no, you two were standing out in the middle of the aisle in the way nobody could see down there. I'm like,
whoops.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. But he did say that at one point in that area, he lost his sight. His eyes had become adjusted. He could make out shapes and stuff. And then everything went black. And like, weird. He would blink and turn his head and everything trying to see what was going on. And maybe his eyes needed adjusted again or whatever. I don't think that's the case or possible. But he said, you know, it was very weird that everything went completely black for a few seconds. Huh. I mean, I'm thinking like 30 seconds or right. something like that, probably, by the way he explained it. But that's a pretty interesting claim too. So those were our two big ones. We didn't get to hear anything. There were many times our tour guide would say, you know, hey, if you're in here, slam a door or maybe bang on the bars or something. And it was pretty quiet. But we did get some visual stuff, which is amazing because I haven't had a ton of visual stuff. I mean, usually it's audible. And so whenever I get to see something, it's really interesting. But the crazy thing to me is, or I guess the bad part about that is I can always make myself believe I didn't really see something. Mm-hmm. And whenever you hear something and somebody else hears it at the same time, you can't deny that. Like, right. But
me and you both seen something.
That's true.
And then all three of us kind of had that feeling / visual of something between us.
Yeah.
And we never discussed it between each other until it was all over with.
Right.
So
we had a blast. We did have a couple experiences. We were only there hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. Well, we went to the gas chamber, so they take us out to the gas chamber, and we get to go in and sit in the chairs and everything. And I wanted to say something. I was looking online when I was doing some research, and I came across this woman who had put on, like, a comment on, like, pictures of the penitentiary and people doing the tours and stuff about how unbelievably disrespectful it was to sit in those chairs and smile and take pictures, and because people's lives ended there. And I'm like, okay, lady, people's lives probably ended where you're sitting. Like, get over yourself. Come on. You know, and those aren't the actual chairs. They were brought in. So it's, you know, people probably didn't die in them. But still, I'm just saying, get over it. People are so ignorant about things. And
well, they have the right to think that. I mean, whatever.
Whatever. I sat in the chairs and mean. I smiled in the chairs. And, you know, people died there, yes, but they died there for a reason.
They earned their spot in that chair.
Yeah, they did. And I don't know. I just, that annoyed me. I was like, oh, lady, if you don't like it, stop looking at it. Like, why are you looking at this stuff if this is how you feel about it?
True.
But it is, it's interesting to sit in those chairs and look around at those walls and think, this is the last thing people saw. That's an eerie feeling,
sad,
really.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And then smile for your picture.
Jeez.
Because that's just what you do at Missouri State Penn. Okay, so I want to do a would you rather this time. Actually, right. I have one.
You actually have one this time.
Have one. And since I stole your truth, we'll just put a would you rather.
A lot. Take we'll my shine.
We'll put a would you rather in on this one. So, would you rather spend a week in the blind cell or pull the lever on the gas chamber?
Oh, that's easy. I do a week in a blind cell. I can never take somebody's life. I mean, that's crazy.
I agree. I couldn't either. I feel like it would destroy my life to pull that lever. You know, there's all those things, like, I can't think of one in particular, but there's all those stories about where they put people in places and they, like, torture them and they go through hell and they'll pull them out and be like, are you ready to do whatever now? You know, so they could put me in the blind cell and, like, pull me out each day and be like, you ready to pull the lever now? And I'd be like, nope, go put me back in there.
Give me my slice of bread.
Yeah. Give me my bread. I'm going back to sleep. But, yeah, I feel the exact same way. It would destroy my life to pull that lever and know that somebody's life was ending on the other end of it.
Yep, I couldn't do it either.
Final thoughts on Missouri State?
Love it. That's all I can say. I mean, not really all I can say, but it's so much fun, and I can't wait to go back and at least do the history tour, because just the little bit of history we got during the ghost tour makes me, like, want to go back. I'm, like, itching for more information. And it's really cool that you had found some more information and shared on here. That was really neat.
Thank you. I do want to go back. I want to do a history tour, like you said, but I also want to do an overnight investigation. I think it's, I don't remember. I think you have to have 10 people. It's like $75 a person. So just like with everything else that we do, if you want to go, reach out to us, showmescares@gmail.com. Maybe we can get a group of people together and go sometime. I'm itching to get back in there, and it would be really cool to be able to work at our own pace and not have to move with the tour guide and only get 2 hours in the place. So,
and hopefully they'll have a building, right?
A hall.
Yeah, hopefully they have the roof on it fixed and we can go in there.
Yeah, I'm dying to get in there. Plus the buried cells. So they are unearthing some cells.
Right. I've seen that on the internet.
Yes. So apparently at one point when they were tearing down one of the buildings, they got to like ground level and was like, screw it, just fill it in. And so they just buried these cells. And so now they're unearthing those. And hopefully those will be available for tours. They're obviously going to have to get engineers in and see how structurally sound they are and how safe they are to see if they can give tours in them. But that'll be a really cool thing to go back and see. And that'll be something new, you know, that we didn't get to do. Nobody has gotten to do yet that we'll want to get in there and see for sure. Because that's very interesting that these cells have been underground for years and years. And
that is crazy.
Yeah. So
it's still crazy to me that underneath the parking lot is bodies as well, though, now.
Yeah, that's sad. So sad. Let's talk about our iTunes reviews. Like I said, we had so many more listens than we anticipated, and you guys are amazing. We did have a few iTunes reviews. It took us a little while to get on iTunes, so we said, please review, and then realized it was going to take a few days. So I'm really sorry that that happened, but thank you guys for leaving the reviews. We have 3 at the time of recording. We have S. Johnson, 417 Creative Economy, and Kevin 65548. Thanks, Dad. thank you all for giving your reviews. And actually, since we were jerks and lied to you about when it was going to be on iTunes, we're just going to send everyone a sticker this week because that's how we should be. So email us if your information and we will get you your stickers. I mean, except you, Dad. I know you. Other than that, we just have our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and we've started releasing trailers on there. Well, I'm working on releasing trailers for each episode. Tell me if you hate those because, I mean, you know, that's a little extra work to get those together. So if you hate those and you don't enjoy knowing ahead of time and getting a little teaser, then by all means, I won't do that work for you. I love doing them and I they're exciting and I like to build buzz. But if you'd rather me just do the still photo with the information on it, that takes about a tenth of the time. So
the trailers are pretty awesome, in my opinion.
I love doing them and I think they're really cool. But we want feedback. So I'm going to just put that out there. You can definitely say this is stupid and I don't like it.
Just be nice when you say, hey, those are stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Say it in a nice voice.
Anyway, we really appreciate everybody. It's so great that we have some listeners and I can't thank everybody enough.
Absolutely. We appreciate all of you. Please tell all of your friends. Everyone, get us some stories. If you have a ghost story, I don't care if it's like 2 seconds long, just send us your ghost story. We want to get some listeners episodes going. So I do have a couple stories that are coming in, but I want to compile a few more, so we'll have a little bit longer of an episode. We love hearing from you and we love all of your feedback. Keep that coming. And again, thank you so, so much for all of your support. It means the world to us. We are having so much fun doing this and we want to continue. So we have some stories coming up. We will do one from back closer to home again. It's out of Terracotta, Missouri in the early 1900s. And you don't know anything about
it. I don't know nothing about it. She will not give me information. She didn't let me do any research on this one. So I'm going to be just as out of the box as everybody else.
And the research on that one has taken about 2 months. So
I'm excited to hear it.
I've been digging a lot. Then we will probably be doing an episode on Pretty Boy Floyd as tying back to MSP, which in all honesty, the more that I've been researching, the more I'm like, I think all of our stories are going to tie back to MSP
somehow
because everybody ends up there. We'll see. I think that wraps up all the business stuff.
Sounds good.
Thank you all so much again. And keep listening. Keep reaching out to us. We love you very much. Have a fantastic week, and we will see you soon.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.